Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for this evening, Father. Thank you for divine appointment, Father. Thank you for the leading and guiding of your Holy Spirit, Father. Thank you for revelation knowledge from you, Father. Thank you that we have ears to hear, Father, and a heart to receive what you are speaking by the Spirit this evening, Father. Thank you for your flow. Thank you that we speak as the oracles of you, Father, that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water, Father. Thank you for your word in season, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. If you can, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We're mainly going to be in 1 and 2 Corinthians tonight, as the Lord leads. So, mainly two books. I'll give you what God has given me, and then move on to the second thing that he gave me, and then finish as he leads. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Paul writes to the Corinthian church and says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. This is what I want to look at tonight as the Lord leads. What is this treasure that he's talking about? We go back to verse 6, and we'll see what treasure God is talking about or sharing with us. It says, or what Paul is sharing, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." The Amplified says, "The light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God as it is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, the Messiah." This is the light that we as believers get to carry, that we have the privilege of carrying. If you go back to John chapter 1, verse 4, I'm not going to turn there, but in that particular passage it says, "In him," in the Messiah, "was life," or "is life," and that life was the light of men, or is the light of men. So understand that the life that we have from our Lord is the light that we get to carry around in, what does 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 say? Earthen vessels. Well, what does that mean? That means we're just clay pots. That we aren't necessarily the real deal. It's God in us. It's God working through us. God at work in the body of believers. Why don't you look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Told you we'd be in flipping around Corinthians this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. If you want to feel good about who you are or who you were before you came to God, here's a good passage for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God." so that no man may boast before God. So in essence, what Paul is sharing here is that, look, many of us, we didn't necessarily have a pedigree or the credentials. But yet God purposely did that because he's using us mightily. He wants to show himself to be strong in us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Paul writes again to the Corinthians, "Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from whom?" God. Our adequacy is from whom?
God.
God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Our adequacy comes from God. Our adequacy comes from God. Go back to, we were looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. So one more chapter over, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why did God put this treasure in earthen vessels? He answers it in that particular verse. So that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. You know, we're used to and have been raised to take care of things by our own bootstraps, right? Raised to do things in and of our own strength. And yet we come to Scripture and there's this teaching that it's, you know, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. By my Spirit, says the Lord. God has called us to be a people to do things through and of His Spirit, not of our own accord, not of our own ability. You wonder why you go through the things that you go through. You wonder why you are asked to do some of the things that you're asked to do, and you don't believe that you can do them. Remember when God came to Moses, and He gave Moses an assignment to lead His people out of Egypt. What was Moses' response? No, pick somebody who's eloquent. Pick someone who's more of a leader. And how did God respond to him? He said, look, I understand that you feel like you have these frailties or weaknesses. I'm going to call someone alongside you to help cover that aspect of it. Isn't that what God does with us? Many times, you know, we're asked to do and go through things that we're like, Lord, why am I going through this? Why am I dealing with this? Can't you go and call, you know, so-and-so to pick up this mantle and do whatever it is that he's called you to do? You know, there's been testimony after testimony. When you talk to a lot of men and women of God, they'll tell you how many of them fought, you know, the call, or they were comfortable or content doing what they wanted to do. And yet, those are the people that God can use. Why? Because they have to trust God. It's not going to be done in and of their own strength and power. You know, I remember way back when, this was probably, I don't know, 92, 93, somewhere around that time, coming to the house of the Lord. And, you know, I had a hunger and a desire to learn the Scriptures, to study the Word, to just know more about God. At the time, it was about God, and didn't necessarily know there was a distinction between knowing about God and knowing God. Big distinction. But at the time, I wanted to know more about God. I wanted to know as much as I could about Scripture, and so I was really pressing in and found House of the Lord and was really blessed by House of the Lord and just receiving the Word and learning from God and just excited about the things of God. And I was content. I'm good. You know, go to church, get good Word, and go throughout my week, and I'm fine. And I remember during that time, Sister Jan had come to me, wonderful Sister Jan, and I don't know how much we knew about each other at the time, but she came and asked me, and she's like, hey, would you want to teach for Sunday classes at the time? I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, why, why would I want to do, you know, I'm good. I'm enjoying things the way that it is. You know, I come, I sit, I receive, and life is great. You know, I study the word, and I'm not sure to this day, I never asked her why, how she knew to ask me or to come to me and ask me to start teaching, because I never saw myself as a teacher. I always saw myself as a student, someone who learns of God, someone who is a disciple. That's what how I saw myself. And so she came to me, and I, you know, obviously I got to be obedient. Figured she hears from God, and, you know, I'll take this challenge and do it. And, of course, God has always given me things to share from His Word, even when I don't feel like I'm competent enough. You understand? And I know that this is not just me, that all of us deal with this, that there's things that we go through in life that we don't feel like we are equipped to do, that we can handle it. And the reality is, that's by design. That is by design. God has called a people who can't do it themselves so that He can do it through them. Understand that. Why did God do this? Go back to 2 Corinthians 4:7. This is where we're going to park at tonight. So that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. So that the surpassing greatness of the power of God, or of the power, will be of God and not from ourselves. It's God who calls us, and when God calls us, He is the same one who equips us. He is the same one who enables us. You know, I remember teaching for the gospel choir at UT, Intervisions, and, you know, they had asked me to be chaplain for a season and did that. And I remember, you know, I told you what I'm good at is studying. You know? I was, to tell you about how I was in high school, you know, came home with A's and B's. I was, you know, good student. People thought that I was really, really smart. And the reality of it is, I really, really studied. I was in a whole bunch of classes with some smart people who didn't study, and they would get A's. And I was like cramming books, studying hard, practice problems, reading the assignments, and it took a lot out of me to get A's and B's. You know, I knew how to study. Bring all that up to say, I was teaching in Intervisions once, and I remember this day clearly. Had all my notes, and everything laid out nice and neat, and I was like prepared. I was going to do a Bible study, and I was going to incite the people and share some good stuff with them. And for whatever reason, I got up and had all my notes and was ready to share, and things just started falling out of my Bible, my notes, and everything was disorganized. And I was like, what's going on? This was going to be a great lesson. I need to teach. I studied. I'm well prepared. And it was at that time that God taught me, I need you to trust in me, not even in your abilities. And that was a very pivotal moment for me, because ever since that moment, I never fretted about, you know, what was I going to say or what was I going to do, or, you know, I knew that I was always supposed to be prepared. I knew that I was always supposed to study to show myself approved. But as far as the word that God speaks out of me, that's up to Him, not up to me to come up with a great teaching or a great message or a great insight. It had to be revelation from God. And that is for everyone in here. Regardless of what you do day and night, how you walk, it has to be God flowing out of you. So that people look at you and say, "Ooh, that can't be Napoleon. That has to be God through Napoleon," you know. Because I know Napoleon. We grew up in San Antonio, and that ain't, you know. No, it's God through us. Remember how they looked at our Messiah, and they said, ain't that so-and-so's from Nazareth? Don't we know his mama and daddy? You know? How is he doing the things that he's doing? It's also that the surpassing greatness of his power, or of the power, will be of God and not of ourselves. Look at a couple more scriptures that Paul shares in light of this power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. This blesses me so much and challenges me. Paul writes here, "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Every time we as believers that we're ministering, that we're sharing, that we're working with others, believers, non-believers, we want others to have a faith in God. Remember, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Reconciling everyone and everything back to God. We don't want people to necessarily put their trust or put their faith in us, because we all know, you know, I don't have to ask anybody to raise their hands of who all in here has frailties, who messes up, who, you know, blows it at times. Of course, all of us. And so we don't want people to fall short because they have faith in us and they see us blow it. No, we want them to always have their faith in God. And that's what Paul ministered here. He says, look, I don't want you to be, swayed because of the persuasive words that I share. I want you to follow and have your trust in God. And so every time I come before you, I want to demonstrate the, you know, God and his Spirit. I want the power of God to be demonstrated every single time. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. There's some scriptures that are, for a lot of us, our go-to scriptures. This is one of my go-to scriptures. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says here, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works within us." According to the power that works within us. Now, what's interesting about this scripture, if you look at it as a standalone, it obviously lets us know that whatever limits we have or think about, God can do exceedingly abundantly and above all of those limits. So we understand that just in that context. But if you compare this scripture with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, you see it in a new light. Because what is God doing with us? He is allowing us to live a life that's beyond ourselves, to live a life where his power is manifest through us on a daily basis. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 says, the reason why it's so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. Well, why do we see Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20? Why is God trying to do exceedingly abundantly and above all that we can ask, think, or comprehend, so that he gets the glory. So that we realize that it's not because we came up with it, you know. It's not because we thought of it. It's not because we dreamed it, because God does above our dreams. He does above our thoughts. He does above what we come up with. Do y'all see that? It helps us extend beyond our faculties. The same thing, if you look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 27, they said the same thing about Jesus, or let's look at what they said about Jesus. Matthew chapter 8, verse 27, for someone who's got it, what did they say about Jesus? Matthew chapter 8, verse 27. What did they say about him? Who is this man? Or what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? This is what the testimony that should be a part of our life. What manner of man are you that you're able to do these things? What manner of man are you that you're going through the things that you're going through, and yet you still honor and praise God? It's easy for, if we're going through a rough time, it's easy to curse. It's easy to go off on God. It's easy to blame God for what's going on, because that's what the world does. Or they'll point out and say, well, because of what we're going through, that proves that God doesn't exist. Because if God existed, then why would I be going through this, or why does this exist here on the earth? It's easy to blame. But when you've got a true believer who, in spite of what they go through, they still praise God, they still honor God, it causes the world to do a double take and say, what in the world? You know, why is Pastor Jim, as much as he's going through and has been through, why isn't he cursing? Why hasn't he walked away from God? Why is, you know, this person over here, as much as, you know, they've been through in their life, in their childhood, why are they following God? Why are they serving God? It's because of the surpassing greatness of the power. So that people would realize the power of God is not of ourselves, it is from God. Do y'all see that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's probably not favorite scriptures of people on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 and 9, but I'm going to show you why it should be. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 8. How many of y'all have verse 8 as a confession? Okay, not many of you. How many of y'all have verse 9 as a confession? No? Okay. Well, we're going to read it. Anyway, it says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing. That word there, let's start with the first one. Afflicted, but not crushed. Afflicted means, it talks about being troubled or distressed from the Greek word. That's what it says there. But even though we're distressed or we go through things, we're troubled, if you will, we're never crushed. And that literally means sorely straitened in spirit. Straitened as in S-T-R-A-I-T-E-N-E-D. Straitened, like dire straits. We're never straitened in spirit. That's what it means when it's talking about crushed. So, in other words, God will allow us to overcome some things so that we realize He is always going to lead us in triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're never going to be succumbed to anything. So, yes, we are going to deal with pressure as much as we don't like it. But we're never going to succumb to that pressure. Look at the next part of this. In verse 8, it says, perplexed, but not despairing. When you look up perplexed and despairing, the Greek word, I thought was interesting, is aporio, and it means to be at loss with oneself, to be in doubt, not to know how to decide or what to do, to be perplexed. Remind you of a scripture in Proverbs chapter 3, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Well, this scripture, the Greek word is aporeo, if I'm saying it right, and if you're a Greek scholar, please don't make fun of me. The next word, despairing, is exaporeo. Exaporeo. And what this is saying is to be utterly at loss, be utterly destitute of measures or resources, to renounce all hope, be in despair. We as believers never get to the... We may have questions. We may not understand some things, but we will never get to the point where all hope is gone. Because God is going to always move mightily through us. I believe that He allows us to get or go through some of these things so that we trust in Him, have faith in Him. I remember a pastor used to say this very eloquently. He's like, people pray and they ask God for $1 million. Well, why do most believers not have $1 million that they've been decreeing and believing for? Because then they wouldn't trust God. Because they're asking for it so that they don't have to trust God to be their source. Now, if you could be wealthy and still trust God, by all means, it's coming to you or you have it. But if it's going to take you away from God, it's like, pastors shared the testimony of believers, they believe God for this great boat and then they turn in their praise report to pastor, maybe not at this church, but they turn in their praise report, thank God I got my boat, and then they're not there on Sundays anymore. It's like, wow, what happened to you? Verse 9, persecuted but not forsaken. Persecuted but not forsaken. There's a promise that Jesus shares. He says that in this life you will have, and He lists all these things, and at the very end that most people don't quote, it says, with persecutions. It's in the fine print, with persecutions. This is, sometimes we can blame, Paul said that, God didn't say that. Well, here's our Lord actually saying that you will have all of these things with persecutions, right at the end of that. So it shares here, persecuted, but not what? Forsaken. God says that He would never leave us or forsake us, right? So there are going to be times where people will do that, but God will never leave us nor forsake us. The other one, struck down but not destroyed. We've heard this many times in a different way. It's been said that we fall down but we get up. This is what this means. Struck down but not destroyed. Can't help it. I'm going to give you all that Rocky quote. I watched you beat this man and he kept coming back. That's what they said about Balboa. He kept coming back. That's how we are as believers. No matter what we go through, the power of God causes us to keep standing up and keep fighting back. No matter what? Though we fall, how many times? We get up, same number. We're always going to get up as believers. Why? Again, we keep coming back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Not from ourselves. One more scripture, and then we'll move on to something else. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I want to actually add this because of the scriptures that we've read. What is the decree or the promise that we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14? What does God always do on our behalf? He always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. This is the promise that we have, that no matter what, we are always going to be led in triumph every time. So if you don't have this mounted somewhere or in your heart, you need to understand and know that you are always going to be led in triumph. Can you get the let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7, I want to actually, I'm sorry, not verse 7, verse 13. I'm skipping several different verses. Obviously, you can take time and read them yourself. But verse 13, having the same spirit of, what's that word? Faith. Having the same spirit of, what's that word? Faith. What's been the mantra here? Pastor has been teaching God's people what? So we're talking about faith here, and it says, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. If you believe something, what are you doing? You should be speaking it. If you believe something, you should be speaking it. And I'll just close with this as a kind of a review of this week. How many of y'all have been blessed this week with Brother Brad? Amen. How many of y'all were really touched and ministered to? How many of y'all remember the things that God shared through Brother Brad? Yes. All right, so if I ask y'all to come and do a report, y'all could do that? No. I'm not going to ask y'all to do that, but what I want to do and what God had put on my heart was, you know, many times we may come into assembly or we may have great and powerful meetings, and then we'll tend to leave it as an event. And God has never called us to have events at House of the Lord. He's called us to have impartations. Impartations that are going to carry us for eternity. That's what Pastor Jim's heart is about, and that's why he brings in the people that he does bring in. And, you know, I put some different words from all the different nights on this board, and this is actually for you. If there's any of these particular ones that touch your heart or that really minister to you, whether it's one or two or five, you know, come and grab the post-it note and put it somewhere so that you are constantly meditating on that word, constantly speaking that word. One of the ones that came on Sunday was Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7. What are you, O great mountain of obstacle? Before Zerubbabel, who will rebuild the temple? You will become a plain insignificant, and he will bring out the capstone of the new temple with loud shouts of grace, grace to it. Do y'all remember that? Speaking to the mountain, causing it to become a small molehill. This was Sunday. God stirring the waters these last days. God stirring the waters these last days. Do we truly believe that? And if so, you know, it goes to this next one. God wants to stir up an attitude and a spirit of evangelism. If we truly believe, as Brother Brad said, that the waters are stirred at House of the Lord, who are we telling about it? Who are we bringing? It's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to all of us to be declaring that. God wants to stir up an attitude and a spirit of evangelism. Revival flies on the wings of prayer. Who said that? Pastor Jim. So if revival flies on the wing of prayer, on the wings of prayer, what should we as people be doing? Jesus said that my house would be called, of all the things he could have said, he said it would be a house of what? Of every noun he could have put there, he said, my house shall be a house of prayer. Now, we know the church is not necessarily the physical building. We are the temple. So what should we be a house of? Prayer. Prayer. Prayer should be a vital part of our life. Again, this is said by Pastor Jim. Thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders. I wrote that he did that Tuesday night, but I thought it was before that. Thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm calling my people to the mountain daily. This is something that Brother Brad was sharing. He's calling his people to the mountain daily. Are there days that go by where we're not pressing in and spending time with the Lord? If so, we need to be reminded of this, that we need to be seeking him on a daily basis. It says here, we need to get back into a place of oneness with God. And the very last one, we got to get hungry for God again. We got to seek the heart of God. Now, these are just a few of some of the things that were shared. I'm sure you've got more, and there's prophecies and prophetic words that we can transcribe, but understand, these are the things that we should not let go of. We should constantly speak these things and pray these things out, not letting them go. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the season that you've called us your people to, Lord. Thank you for the word that you've put in us, Lord. We thank you, Father. We will not let it go, Father. We will lay hold of it is written, Father. We will let your power be manifest in us, Father. We will carry out your kingdom will, plan, and purpose during this time, Father. We are submitted to you. Father, as Paul said, it is no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us, Father. As John the Baptist said, he declared that he must decrease so that our Messiah, our Christ, would increase, Father. Let that be our heart cry, Father, that we see your power manifest, that we see your glory manifest here in our own lives, at House of the Lord, in our families' lives, Father. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Father, for you accomplishing and doing signs, wonders, and miracles through us, through this body, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's stand. Father, I call these people blessed. I thank you that your grace abounds in their life, Father, that they carry out your will, plan, and purpose, Father. I thank you that we are led by your Holy Spirit on a daily basis, Father. Cause us to seek you daily, Father. Seek you daily, Father, to pursue you, to have a hunger for you, Father, a thirst for you on a daily basis, Father. Thank you for your word sown this week, Father. We do have your word sealed by your Holy Spirit, Father. We know that throughout our lives, you will cause those things to begin to bear forth fruit in our lives and in the lives of others, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.